Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. You know, we've decided to take control in the spirit of the things that happen in this country. Praise the Lord. Amen. And now those who have been with us have seen that things are happening because we have told them to happen. Eh? And now we are getting away from the old concept of prayer, because we pray, but we also command. Eh? We take control of things in the spirit and make sure that things happen in the spirit that are favorable to our country. Praise the Lord. And now this past week, we were praying for Psalms 35 verse 27, and says that let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Praise the Lord. Now we are saying that there is God's righteous cause, and there are those who favor it, but then there are those who do not favor it. And now he's saying, and he gave me this scripture, he's saying that those who favor his righteous cause will shout for joy. But then previously, before that verse, where I will not read, he pronounces some very powerful things on those who do not favor the cause of the Lord. Amen? Now we decided we are going to cause people who have stood themselves against the cause of God to be brought down. Now we are not actually pulling anybody specifically. Okay, there is one person whom I specifically pointed out to be pulled down. And you are going to see what is going to happen to her. Because I had to put myself in a place of... does she know what she's doing? Does she really know what she's doing? And actually somebody here came and told me some of the things that they are planning. And I asked, does that person know what she's doing? And he said, I think she knows what she's doing. Because I do not want to say things on people when they are just blind. But since she knows what she's doing. But otherwise, apart from that, we just set out a system according to the word of the Lord. And those who favor the cause of God are the ones who come out on top. Amen? Amen. Now, when I was praying about that, so many of our people told us the things they were seeing, but I specifically saw a thick mist covering especially the Ministry of Health, but also extended to finance and some other ministries. A mist like an early morning mist. And then there was hardly any visibility in that place. But then as the sun came out, as you would expect in the morning, the mist kind of vanished. Now, when it vanished, there were some people who were lying down. There were some people who were standing. There are some people who had been elevated. Others had been uprooted. And that's just the way it is going to be. Praise the Lord. Because the cause of the enemy has chosen Uganda for some very sinister things. Very, very sinister things. Uganda. And then, for just a few million dollars, our leaders have opened up the whole country to them. So they are coming to pitch camp here, and they are straight from the bowels of hell. And the key word they are going to be using is vaccination. Now, but it actually is population control. Population control. That's what it's about. And they hope that it starts here and spreads to the rest of the what? Of the continent. But we know that the Lord has told us that light starts here, not darkness. Amen? So we'll not let darkness start from here. Now they are planning, you know these clowns, they are doing what they call training of trainers. Training people of how to do what? To handle the soon to arrive upsurge of Ebola cases. But the cases are waiting for the trainers to first train. They have now been put on hold. Let's first train these people. Now, when they are finished training, then the cases will what? Will expand, and all of a sudden, okay, this is what they are planning. This is not what is going to happen. Eh? Amen? But let me tell you, if we had not stood up, it would have happened. Then when they finish training, their trainers, then woo, Ebola cases all over the place. Now, you know, everyone, then they get back into their and if, by the way, let me tell you, if we had not stood down, we would be in lockdown right now. I'm telling you, that one I am absolutely sure. Because even somebody works in parliament, was saying in parliament everybody was talking up things, they were expecting a lockdown about 2 weeks ago. And then I told you what happened. Then I said, Lord, how can these people lock us down again? When will they open us up? So now we cannot worship because some clowns, fools who lead our country, want to get money. But then he told me, as long as the people are not with lockdown, the majority of the people, you can stop it. And so we did. Then a certain man who says he rules this country tweeted, by the way, there is not going to be, there will be no lockdown. I said, that is not you who said that, that is me. Now, if you think I'm joking, you wait and see what else we are going to pronounce. I'll tell it to you before we pronounce it, so that when it happens, you know that we are no longer praying those religious prayers of, you know, God help. No. God has given us authority. And in Uganda, he has given us jurisdiction. There are other things we follow. I've been following the midterm elections in America, and there are certain things I would want to happen, but I have no jurisdiction there, so I just watch. Okay? I watched the election in Brazil. It did not go the way I wanted, but I have no jurisdiction there, so I just what? Also in Israel, I was following the election. That one went the way I wanted, but there is nothing I could do about that. But in Uganda, God has given us the authority and the jurisdiction. As long as it is within these borders that we call our country, we can determine, and this is what we are doing. So even starting today, tonight, and now, we are going to be proclaiming things. Like, by the way, no games. People are going to die. We've already seen people dying. Haven't we? Yes. We've seen people dying, and they are going to die. And we are not going to mourn them. You see, if you're a religious person, you say, yeah, you know, we don't. But the scripture says when the wicked perish, they are what? Yes. And now that's the thing. Because why should somebody come and cause the death of millions of children because they want money? Does it even the scripture say that it is better for one man to die and save a whole nation? So now people are going to die. And I'm saying this because let me tell you, because I know that what I say here, of course, gets there. I'm not just a preacher here, I'm also a politician. In their eyes, in the eyes of God, I don't know. Anyway, my point is, I'm saying this because there are people who go and but this is what he said. Now, there are certain people who are going to, and there is a lady who is going to die. You are going to see it. Now, initially, I'd actually pronounced judgment, but specifically said, let her life be spared. But now I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind here. Because we cannot let the scripture says, Psalms 125 verse 3. It says, Psalms 125 verse 3. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Praise the Lord. Now, if Uganda is a land allotted to the righteous, the scepter of wickedness cannot rest here. We will not let it. And by the way, if we let it, we shall be judged on the day of the judgment seat of Christ. What did you do about it? Amen? Now, we have to take a posture of we are taking responsibility for Uganda. And the responsibility is not political. It's first spiritual. So, the scepter, you know what a scepter is? A scepter is an instrument of power, okay, which kings used to use. So when the king lifts up his golden scepter for you, it means you've been accepted. You remember the story of Esther? When she fasted 3 days. And the rule is if you appear before the king when he has not called you, there are two things. Either he lifts up the scepter, which means, okay, it's okay. Or you show up and he does not lift it up, they just take you and kill you. They don't even ask him. So after fasting 3 days and telling all the Jewish people to fast 3 days, she dressed up very smartly, like a hot babe. You know, so you have to put in wisdom. Yeah. So she dressed up very smartly. I'm sure she put on the best honor, and then she just showed up in the palace. And then faith, the faith of the Jews lies on that. And the guy looks at her and says, man, what is it that you want, Queen Esther? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. Can you imagine? So now, okay, but away from that, now back to serious things. Now it says, up to half the kingdom, man, go back to Psalms 125. So it says, the scepter of wickedness. I wish you knew the things which these people are planning. Very wicked things, very wicked things. Now they are planning to roll out a yellow fever, roll out completely, everybody go and get vaccinated, yellow fever. The thing has aluminium, it's going to cause autism. So children, now some people will go, they said to get to what guy, to get mama. Then your child gets autism. You know what autism is? So now, we shall not allow that to happen in this country, by the way. We are not going to allow it to happen because we have to save the children of this country. Amen. We have to save the children of this country. Otherwise, God will hold us responsible. Praise the Lord. Now that we know that we have authority and we have jurisdiction, now we are going to apply these things. Eh? Tonight. You know the way Esther's fate was in that moment when she shows up before the king. And by the way, they did not give him a lot of time to make up his mind. A few seconds. If he hasn't lifted it up, they take you away. So you just show up, the guy sees you, you see him. Then he lifts up the thing and says, man, you look hot, my wife. Anyhow, up to half the kingdom. Anyway, now, tonight, some people, we are not going to lift up the scepter on them. And they might not see 2023. Now, we are going to show you that we have power in this country. And we are not doing it carelessly because we are the children of God and we love God. And we do not apply the authority that he has given us lightly. But some people might not see 2023. Tonight, some of them shall lift the scepter for them and say, okay, 2023 is granted to you. Others, they will not, because they have decided to mess up this country. Now, every wicked agenda, every wicked cause is laying hold in Uganda. And now, like, they don't care. These are poor people who are going to die. They don't care. Well, for us, we do. Now, you see, the scripture says, now, you see, we have to start thinking in a certain way if we are really going to take authority over our country. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says that, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, let me tell you something. There are some people whom every time I'm doing something, I'm thinking, what does this guy think about me? And one of them is Daniel. One of them is Daniel. I say, when I stand up, I am thinking, Daniel is there looking at me, and I would want to know, what does he think about me? Now, I told you a story some time ago. I'm going to tell it to you again because you have no choice. Now, anyway, one day I was in my room, and then suddenly my son comes out, and he's in this mood, he's in a certain mood, and he's telling me how he's seeing all these great people, and he's talking to me, but he's saying, I'm actually there in heaven with them right now. Then he tells me Isaiah is saying this, what? Then he told me, he said, Catherine Kuhlman has said hi to you. They said, wow, okay. Tell him. Then he tells me, then he says, I'm seeing her right now. Then he tells me that Reinhard Bonnke, he had just gone to be with the Lord. That great evangelist has also said hi to you. I said, eh? Okay. So I was, that was kind of good. But then I had to go somewhere. So I left him in the sitting room in that mood of his. And he was like in a completely different mood, and I went to my bedroom to dress up. Now, when I was, hadn't even entered the shower, as soon as I left, I said, but Lord, why are evangelists sending greetings to me? I'm not an evangelist. Because both Catherine Kuhlman and Reinhard Bonnke were evangelists. I said, but I'm not an evangelist. Why are they sending greetings to me? But I got to know why eventually. But I left. I did not tell him anything. I just thought that in my mind, and I left and went to my bedroom. Then the next thing, he comes and knocks very urgently on the bedroom. Dad. Then I open, I say, what's it? He says, now Daniel has also said hi to you. And then he told me, he says he's proud of you. I said, yeah. By the way, now, a great crowd of witnesses are up there who have walked this earth, have served God, and they are now there looking at you. Now, you know that that does not make you feel the same. Have you ever played football in front of a full stadium? The answer is no, of course. And my point is, you know, one day we were watching a football match, and Nambori, and we were playing against Ghana. Now there is a tunnel where halftime the footballers would pass and go to the dressing room, and now somewhere above that tunnel, all Uganda's footballers and ex-footballers sit there, right above the tunnel. So now when the Ghanaian players were passing, they were abusing them, and then for some reason, there was one who passed. The guy, he's gone somewhere, Kufo. The guy came walking slowly. When he came, all of them kept quiet, like as if an angel was passing. None of them abused him. Then he passed and went. And then they started abusing the others who were behind him. So after the match, I asked him, how come that you didn't abuse him? The guy told, you know, these are footballers. The guy told me that in Luganda, that one you can't abuse him. I said, why? He said, somebody who plays the Champions League final with 80,000 people watching him and millions watching across the world, and he controls the ball, and Zidane is here, Ronaldo is here. He said, that one you don't abuse him. Now, they know ranks. You see, it's only in the church where people don't know ranks. Where these people know that this is not somebody, okay, even if he's playing Uganda Cranes, he's not at our level. Because when he's playing, that time he was playing for Bayern Munich, when he's playing, man, the people whom he's defending against Zidane, man, the guy said, Now, we all, even if we are not at that level of playing 80,000, we have millions of people watching us in this field where we are in, praise the Lord. A great crowd of witnesses from way back watching what you're doing, what God has given you, and saying, man, let's see how, you know. Now, there is all the prophets, the great men of God, you know, all the apostles, all the powerful people, even the ones who lived after post-Bible, all of them. Kenneth Hagin is there looking at you, saying, let's see what you'll do. Praise the Lord. Now, when you know that you have a great cloud of witnesses, you do not get caught up in small things. Now, this is what he's saying, that it's not, these are not just petty things here we do here and what. Actually, the truth is, you look at it as a responsibility, and you look at all these people as seeing you, and like kind of either being proud like or otherwise. Anyway, so therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, of course, this is important because imagine, you remember the time when there was COVID and people were not allowed in the stadiums and football matches were played in empty stadiums. They are not the same, are they? They were boring because it is supposed to be where the people are different when there is a crowd watching them. Now, when the fans come in and they start screaming, even football, you know, even footballers start feeling different. The adrenaline is different. You know how this is. Now, there you know they are watching you on TV. But it's different from when you're seeing them. Now, I want you to understand that you look and you think that they are actually people, a great crowd of witnesses watching you every step. And all of them have probably been doing, gifted something like you. And you are like them. And they are looking at you. So now when you put that in your head, as sometimes you should sit and say, I wonder what these guys are thinking about me. Because for them, where they are, as powerful as they are, they cannot add anything to their story. Now, for me here on earth, if there's anything I've not done right, I still have time to correct it. I'm still writing my story, my eternal story, because I'm still on earth. But for them, they have written theirs. But still, that makes us think different. Then he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, run with endurance a race that is set before us. Then he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. Praise the Lord. You know, in every endeavor, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our pursuit. He authors it and he's supposed to finish it, our pursuit. Now, in every endeavor that we undertake, we know that Christ, we hope, I hope for your sakes, Christ is the one who authored it, because of course there are some which are not authored by him, but the finisher. And then he says, he despised. Imagine, think about the Lord going, let's say at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's very sorrowful. He's sad because of everything that is going to come to him. And he's crying. And as the scripture says, his tears are like drops of blood. And he looks at this thing he's going to have to go through. But he says, he looks past it to the salvation of humanity, which is dependent on that moment. Praise the Lord. And he despises that shame. He despises the suffering. He says, no. What is ahead? I'm going to look ahead. So he despises the sad things he has to go through. That's what it says. Because of what is lying in store ahead, the salvation of all of us. Praise the Lord. And then, we also, at such a time as this, we can choose to take any direction. And there are all sorts of directions that we can take. But then, there are children whose lives are dependent on us. But we can choose sleep over them. There are things which are there is a nation that is dependent on us. But we can choose to just say, amen. And I'll tell you this. At any time, you can bolt out and choose the easy option. And so many people do that. You know, there are stories in the scripture which just, and they can never be overtold. For instance, the one concerning Gideon, which has been one which the Lord has, over a period of time, impressed some things upon me. The story of Gideon, starting from Judges chapter 6 onwards, you know what happens? When he calls all a multitude of people to come and fight against the Midianites, then the Lord says, those are too many. Then he says, all those who are scared, go home. 22,000 people went home. 10,000 people remained. Then the Lord says, those ones are still too many. You know, then he reduced the number to 300 people. But I want you to see that somebody who goes to fight when he's scared is better than somebody who doesn't go. Amen? So when they gave them a break, okay, if you're scared, you go home. They went home, and that is at least registered somewhere, that you were willing to go even if you're what? Scared. But at least you tried. And if you had stayed when you're scared, you'd be deceiving yourself. So let me go home. The truth is I'm scared, so let me go home. But then even with the 300, then he goes and pursues Midian. There's something I'm trying to get to here. He goes and attacks Midian and now gets the two kings of Midian, Zebah and Zalmunna, on the run, and now they are fleeing. But then there are also the two princes of Midian who are also running. Then go to chapter 7, verse 4 of the book of Judges. I want to see you something. I want to show you something here. Verse 24. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize them from the watering places as far as Beth Bara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the water places as far as Jordan. Now here is the thing. Gideon had already started the war and now these people are running. But now where they are running, he calls the children of Ephraim, who are also Israelites, the children of Joseph, and he calls them and says, block them there, because we know they will go to that place where there is water. So block them from there. So these guys who are not involved in the beginning of the war, when they are called upon, they go. And they go and block them. Go to the next verse. Then it says, verse 26. Okay. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. And a certain person who had meat surveyed the king that what? White men. Anyway. And they pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. So far, so good. But I want to show you something. So now they come with the heads. You called us to kill. Here are the princes of Jordan, Oreb and Zeb. Now the men of Israel said to him, why have thou to, they are saying this to Gideon, why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they reprimanded him sharply. Now, Midianites have been ruling over Israel for so many years. Amen? Somebody took the initiative and went to fight them. But then he called you, and thankfully you came and also put your tafad and added something to it. But now, these people, I want to show you how they think in this scripture. And these people are now thinking this is the end of the war. So now they are trying to say, their mindset is who is going to take the credit. So why didn't you call us? Yeah? Now you see, if you had called us, this would have been simple. I'm paraphrasing. And so on. So Gideon was a very wise man. He knew what they were doing. He knew what they were up to. He knew that if you start complaining over those small things at that time, you're not going to finish the battle. You're going to be held up there. So now, he said to them, what have I done now in comparison with you? Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, what you have done is much bigger than what I have done. But that's not true. But then he knows that's what they want to hear. Then he says, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? Now, in proper English, you know that means the vintage is the leftovers after people have harvested. Now, what he's saying, that the vintage, rather, is the fresh. The gleaning are the leftovers. So he says, the gleaning of Ephraim, your gleaning, is better than our vintage. You see, he's trying to tell the Muliba Akabi, that's in brief. He's trying to tell the Muliba Akabi, no. And now, go ahead. Then he says, God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you? You see, you're the one who has done the bigger job. So you deserve all the praise and the what? Then their anger towards him subsided when he said that, because they were angry about credit. But you see, Gideon knew something else. Now go ahead to the next verse. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuit. Now for the other people, the war had ended. They were talking about who is taking credit. For Gideon, they had captured the princes, but the kings, Zeb and Zeruman, were not yet captured. So Gideon says, you want the credit, you take the credit, it's okay. Me, I'm going to capture. I'm not going to end this until I've captured Zeba and Zelumna, the oppressors, the kings of Midian. Then he went and said, he crossed over the Jordan, weary, exhausted, but still in pursuit, hungry, but still in pursuit. Now, at any one stage, he had done enough, but no. Then he said to the men of Sukkoth, please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I'm pursuing Zeba and Zelumna, kings of Midian. And the leaders of Sukkoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zelumna now in your hand that we should give bread to your army? Now, there are people who are like this. Eh? And this is now so many people. They never get involved in any cause. Eh? They say, you first finish, then you call us. You've seen such people. Eh? They cannot even give bread. The man has said, we are not asking you to come and pursue them with us. But we are hungry. Just give us food, we'll pursue them. We don't want to get involved. Don't involve us in your things. You know such people, eh? You know such people, eh? I meet them every day. Every day. Man, you those things of yours, don't involve me. You know what I'm saying, eh? But then let me tell you. When you have the heads of Zeba and Zelumna, guess who will be the first people coming? Those don't involve me. You know, eh? And you know it is a wicked thing. If you give them a portion after that attitude, let me tell you, there are spiritual principles. Jesus said, those who partake of my sufferings will partake of my glory. Amen? There is a time for suffering and there is a time for what? So if you don't suffer with me, don't come when there is glory. That is scripture. If you're this, can you imagine that? They just give them food. We are not asking you to chase them, to chase Zeba and Zalmunna. Just give us food. We eat quickly, quickly, and continue. They say, praise the Lord. And man, now those people are many. Man, every day. And they think they are clever. And by the way, that is portrayed as some sort of wisdom. I mean, I don't want to get involved. Then even your wife tells you, man, don't get involved in those things. Oh, man. I know so many people who have told me that. And then they say, why don't you go? And I remember during lockdown, when they had opened other things, and they had refused to open churches. There are some pastors who would come and tell me, why don't you fight for the opening of churches? I looked at them and said, let me leave that to you. Me, I'm okay. Whether they open the churches or not. Because they don't want to do anything. For you, they send you as if you're not made of blood. Eh? But I think you should fight. Now I think you should fight for the opening of the churches. So for them, they have put it in their mind, you are the fighter. For them, they are the cheerer. Eh? And they are the beneficiaries. So they just wait for the time to benefit, and then they show up. And now there are people like, and there are so many, by the way, not even in this, even in businesses. You have a startup. You go and tell somebody, I want us to start this business and so on. Like so many of them say, man, you leave me alone. You start your things. They would rather go and get a security of a job somewhere in some established company, which is okay, but they are not like that. They don't take risks. And that's their, like, but the problem is that once you are like that, you're condemned to be a servant all your life. Amen? Now, for some of us who are risk takers, we'll either be kings or we'll be dead. Now for you, you are guaranteed to be a servant all your life. Because you wait for people and then you show up. And nobody is going to consider you when you show up when the victory has already been won. Anyway, let's see what Gideon did. So Gideon said, for this cause, because we have a cause. Amen? Don't we have a cause? It says, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand. Now, Gideon is chasing a big army. He has 300 men who are tired, weary, but still in pursuit. But he's saying that when the Lord delivers them into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Go ahead. Then he went up there to Peniel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Sukkoth had answered. Do you have the heads of Zeba and Zalmunna? Don't tell us this thing that you're pursuing. No. Come here. When you have them, we are not interested in pursuits. We'll only be interested when you have the heads of Zeba and Zalmunna. Now, of course, so he also spoke to the men of Peniel, saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. Go ahead. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were at Kakor, and their armies with them, about 15,000. Now, I want you to see this, the miracle of the Lord. There were 15,000 men. Gideon had 300 tired and hungry men. But then he descended on them, weary, but still in pursuit. Praise the Lord. And then, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east, for 120,000 men who drew the sword, had fallen. Now, I want to tell you that if you have 300 men and you're chasing 15,000 men, you are confident when you know 120,000 men have already been killed by this very 300. Isn't it? So, go ahead, next verse. Then Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in the tents of the east of Nabor, and he attacked the army while the camp felt secure. When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle, from the asset of Heres. And he caught a young man of the men of Sukkoth, and interrogated him, saying, interrogated him, and he wrote down for him the leaders of Sukkoth and its elders, 77 men. Then he came to the Sukkoth and said, "Here are Zeba and Zerumna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, 'Are the hands of Zeba and Zerumna now in your hand that we should give bread to your men?' Now I don't need your bread. Now I already have my victory." He did to them very nasty things. Maybe we skip that. Okay, he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Sukkoth. The word actually is he disciplined. That was not good discipline. Then he tore down the tower of Peniel and killed the men of the city. End of story. Okay, end of the story for this for today. But what I'm trying to say is this. Now we are pursuing Zeba and Zerumna. But some people will say, man, if you want to see people scared, you tell them that. Okay, and I don't really, to a large extent, I don't blame them. I don't blame people because, you know, people have different grace. But at least food. Just give us food. You know, there are people who are so selfish and so disinterested in anything that has not come to its logical conclusion. They don't have the slightest idea of a cause, of something that is a cause. We are pursuing a cause. So they are so, their number one thought process is about self-preservation. Anything that appears to have risk is none of their business. They first have to preserve themselves. I'm telling you, such people are damned to be servants all their lives. All their lives. There is nobody reading the scripture with such an attitude who went anywhere. All of them go to imagine the risks these people go through. Imagine Gideon, who tells these men who have captured the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and they want to get the glory. He says, for us, we are chasing the kings. So for you, are interested in the princes. Man, you guys are like this. So he gives them all they want, and he runs to chase the kings. Because if he had stopped there to argue for the glory, the kings would have taken off. Now for him, he wants to get his hand on the kings of Midian, Zeba and Zerumna. Praise the Lord. Now, after we've handed the princes of Midian, guess where we are going next? Praise the Lord. They will know that this place, this altar, this nation, outside here, no jurisdiction. Even in Kenya, we followed quietly, praying. But we cannot command, because that's outside our what? But here, you're joking. Even if it means some people resting. Praise the Lord. So go and tell those people. And I know the people whom I'm sending. Go and tell those people that unless they get out of the way and they abandon their evil plans, you'll hear road accidents, what you got, you'll hear. Amen? Yeah. But of course, there is still time. If they say that, now we are not. Because there are some people actually in those places who refused. Even when they realized that the dangers of the COVID vaccine, there are some people who refused in those places. Even in UNEPI, and they said, no, we are not interested. And they took leave. I was told that. They said, we shall not be involved in that. Because they have a conscience. But there are those who are so entrenched in, and by the way, some of them even go to churches on Sunday. And they even give them front seats. But their wickedness. But you wait when you start hearing things. A cancer here, an accident here. Anyway, for the cause of the Lord, we shall be united. Praise the Lord. We shall be united for what? When people understand that the kingdom of darkness, now this is what the people do not, now we cannot be like churches in other countries. But then again, we have a special dispensation here in Uganda. Because Uganda has been chosen of the Lord to be the starting place for this end time revival. That has, But we first have to deal with Jerusalem. Eh? We have to first sort our business. So we can be here hoping for good things in other countries, but we have to first sort our business and make sure that the light shines brightest here. Then from there, we take it on to other places. Now, when, you know, when you're young, eh? Like young children, they're only concerned about themselves because they are not yet, they have not come to a place where they can add other people's concerns on their trolley. Their only interest is themselves, and that's natural, eh? And it's normal. But then now, when a child grows, and let's say he's in their mid-20s, and he's still very selfish, then they have stunted. They are psychologically stunted. Because at that age, you are supposed to be in a position to take on the responsibilities of other people and even the concerns of other people. And that's why we have so many failed marriages, because we have so many children in adult bodies. So somebody goes and gets a girl because she looks good, but he does not have the psychological strength to maintain somebody, to be dependent on him. And then even goes and gets a child. And now you know the needs of a child. You have to put your needs aside and care for this person every minute of every day. Amen? You only do have some time to yourself when the child is asleep. And that's how all of you mothers were suffering with you. Eh? But now you're here looking all important. Eh? But my point is, imagine a very immature boy, stunted psychologically, takes on a very... Sometimes girls are usually more mature, eh? But then also on the other hand, they are supposed to be the ones taken care of. Eh? But then now, the boy is totally mature. He's not in position to actually take on somebody with him. But then he does. And then they give birth to a child. And then you see Katogo. You see real, real, real Katogo. Because now in the spirit, we have such Katogo. Because there are people who are supposed to be mature and think for other people. But they only think about themselves. So even when we have our prayers, sometimes you tell people, now we are going to pray for our own financial needs. Then people say, amen. But let me tell you, the truth is, when we get this cause to its conclusion, the things which you think are big will become very small. Amen? There is a big cake to divide the other side. So don't think like children. When we are praying for the nation, don't start saying, what about me? As if you're a Kenyan. Or as if you live in Kenya. Amen? Because you see, sometimes you're telling people, now we have to pray for the nation, and they are looking at you like this. Because, of course, I know that they actually have personal needs. Eh? But the people who are sacrificing themselves, you can see somebody who, like the person who was telling me about all that yellow fever thing and what. He has been out there fighting these things. So he's known. So it's difficult for him to even get a job, because he has been blacklisted. But he's still pursuing, wary, but still in pursuit. Amen? Yes. So the other day I was there, he calls me and tells me, I have some guino I want to give you. I say, come and find me. Then he comes and gives me very interesting guino. Wary, but still what? Pursuit. So now we do not wait to be comfortable. Like, even if you're wary, imagine these people, and then you're wary, and then even other people who are supposed to be with you cannot even give you bread, because they don't want to be involved. Ah, man, me, I don't like. Huh? Somebody told me, I told him, what Bible do you read? The Bible is full of wars. If they are not physical, they are what? Hey, you die if you are tired of wars. Die and go to heaven. It's the only way out. Eh? But as long as you're here, there are wars, and you encounter them every day of your life. Praise the Lord. So now, if you're that kind of secure, I don't want things which disturb me. Hmm? You know, Paul talks about that guy called Epaphroditus, eh? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. Start from verse 28. He says, therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Verse 29. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Next verse. Because for the cause, I'm paraphrasing, of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. Now he says, this man did not regard his life for the cause of Christ. And he said, hold such men in high esteem. Because they are not ordinary people. Somebody who does not care about himself, primarily. It doesn't mean you become careless and what. But his primary concern is a cause. And Paul says, hold such men in high esteem. Because they are not usual men. They are very, very unusual, by the way. Because everybody, and now I'm even talking like most self-preservation man. When you first ask, what is in it for me? How sure am I that this business is going to work out? Now you see, those people, they actually discourage us. They might seem like they're just, go to Numbers 32. It says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, Gad is not God. You might think I'm speaking American. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock. Go on. Next verse. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, next verse, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimra, Heshbon, Elia, Nabala, Nabala. Next verse. The country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Next verse. Therefore they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. Now what these people are asking for is actually a very natural thing. Natural. Because when the children of Israel came out from Egypt, before they crossed the Jordan, Moses first defeated some tribes which were east of the Jordan, and they first captured some land there. And now they did an allocation of the land, and they gave it to the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, and said, now this is your inheritance, you people here. And they were happy with their inheritance, because it was a land good for cattle, and they were cattle keepers. So they said, but now there's one problem. The other tribes of Israel, for them their land is across the Jordan, and they have to cross over. But now these guys come and say, for us we've got ours. Why do you want to take us those heads? Eh? But the land which they have gotten, they did not fight for it themselves. The whole tribes of Israel fought for it. But now that they have, and they are comfortable, they do not want to go the other side. Ah, you leave us. You guys who haven't gotten land, you go and fight for your land. But for us, you leave us, let us chill here, because we found what we want. Now, actually, the truth is, it's a very natural thing, but it's a very stupid thing in the spirit, because that's how people, you listen to what Moses told them. And he was very angry, by the way, verse 6. And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now, there are some people we are going to tell. Are we going to be the ones fighting when you're seated? Shall your brethren go to war when you're seated there? Not even a tough one. At least come and cook for us food as we pray. You know, when you have these communal prayers, you see things. There are people who bandy, even 15 minutes, you see their eyes are like this. The eyes are red. Eh? And like, you understand. But you know what? Just cook for us what? Coffee. As we make for us a cup of coffee, we shall do the praying. And then you'll have done your bit. You'll not be like the men of Sukkoth, who said, Zeba and Zerumna in your eye, just give us bread. We shall be okay. We shall go and pursue Zeba and Zerumna. Now, imagine if those people had given Gideon bread. They would have claimed a part of that victory. And say, you guys were hungry and we gave you food. And they would be, but you selfish people never think beyond. Because you don't think that, what if these guys actually win and come back with Zeba and Zerumna? Haven't I missed an opportunity to have done something powerful? Anyway. Moses said to them, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Next verse. Now, why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Now, For them, in their minds, they think they are just saying, we have our land, we stay here. But Moses is saying, no, you're discouraging the people who are going. Because when they, this land which you own, all of them fought for it. But was it their land? After they fought for it, all of them, all the tribes, they said, okay, this is your peace. Now, when they are going to fight for theirs, for you want to cheer. Now, he says, you're going to discourage them. Go ahead. Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshkol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Go ahead. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, from the 20 years old and above, shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Kenazai the Joshua the son of Nun, for they have, you know, they have wholly followed the Lord. Go next verse. Quickly. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. Now, Moses is telling them the whole story of how they ended up here. He says, that's exactly what your fathers did. We sent them to spy the land, and they came and discouraged people. Now, you're doing the same thing by saying, for you want to stay here. Now, they thought it was something small, but Moses made it a big deal. You're the ones who's going to discourage. You are going to stop the whole children of Israel from entering the promised land. And then, so he went and even swore to them, and even called the people and said, if these people, because Moses knew he was not going across the Jordan, he was going to die. So he called the people, Joshua and the rest, and made them swear that if these people do not go and fight across the Jordan, don't give them this land also. Because they want to discourage everybody. So now the men swore, okay, we have accepted, we made a mistake, we shall go and fight, and we are not going to come back to this land of ours until all the tribes of Israel have all gotten their land and they have been given land, then we shall also come back here. Praise the Lord. Now, we are in a place where there are so many people who want to chill. I keep on saying this, by the way, because we have issues here. The other day, this gentleman here saw angels coming here with dollars, and they walked through, and they only found two people who were ready. That made me sad. Like, I don't know if it made you sad, but it made me sad. I said, hey, Lord, just two people. Two. So I was sad. And now, when we went to pray, I told people, now, take a moment and expand your soul. Expand your spirit. Expand yourself. So that, because apparently, I think if I remember what he said, that he will come back. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. So that when he comes back, we are at least ready. Amen? At least all of us should be ready, because who of us doesn't want dollars? But you see, God is saying, expand your heart. Don't be petty, small, think about small things. Now, when we talk about praying for the nation, that should excite you, because now you're beginning to expand yourself. You're not like a child who is only concerned about themselves. You've entered an era of maturity where God can entrust bigger things than you to you. So, now this, the whole sad thing of people having very, very small dreams. And you know, let me tell you, I had a new maid who came to work for me. And I think she had worked for about a week or maybe 2 weeks. Then one Saturday night, I went home and I lay on the couch to watch some, football. And I left my wallet on the chair when I went upstairs to the bedroom. And it had about between 4 and 5 million shillings. Now, in the morning, when this maid woke up, now this amused me. It really amused me. Because in the morning, when the maid woke up, she was cleaning the couches and she found the money. She took like only 600,000 and left the rest. That's as big as her dreams were. I think in her mind, 600,000 was the limit. So I came, they said the man stole money, and when I left the wallet still had a lot of money. I said, why did she take all of it? Like, can you imagine, like, when your mind is so small that even when you're stealing, you steal only, or 4.5 million, you steal only 600? Like, she could have taken all of it. There's no way I would have found her. In any case, I wouldn't even bother looking for her. But
she just counted like this. Why do you count? Just take the whole thing. Now, then she ran into the, the maid's quarters, pulled out a cavera, put in her clothes, and said, I have to see somebody at the gate. Then took off and never came back. And I'm so when I looked at the wallet, I started laughing. Then I laughed. I said, man, like, Ngawe Deyo, do you know? That is sad. Like, I think in her mind, she came, like, saying, if I can work and I get 600,000. All my problems are what? And suddenly it was there. The Lord had pronounced it, not the Lord. Now, man, it is bad to have big... by the way, let me tell you, it's very bad to have small dreams. Because you lose... That's what Ecclesiastes means when he says, in chapter 9, verse 11, that the rest does not belong to the what? To the swift. He says... I turn and saw that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time, in other words, a season, and opportunity fall to everybody. There is nobody who has not had opportunity to be something big. I'm telling you, none of you. But the thing is, just passes you by. Amen? I can tell you so many instances in my life where opportunities came up for me to do something, but my mind was too small, and I let them pass. So now I know, and I've told you some of those stories. So now I know time and chance happens to what? Everybody. Now, some people are here saying they are broke, but their opportunity they have had opportunity and opportunity. Now that maid where she is, I'm sure she got the 600,000 got finished. Eh? And she's thinking about what was left. But she cannot come back for it. Because Bambiaka dream was this size. I was in shock to see almost all the... By the way, if they had not told me that she had stolen money, I would not even have noticed. Because the bundle which was added, of course, like it was 5 million, had used some. Now I hadn't counted. So Abiyasenta, I heard the one, it was almost the same. So my point is, time and chance happened to everybody. Now, the angel came here, and there was a chance, and there was time, and it happened to you, but you were not ready. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, not next time. Go and expand your soul. Just expand your soul. Think bigger. Think grander things. Look at yourself in a different way. You know that, like, and over the years, although I've been a victim of it, I've seen also some people who have been terrible victims of small-mindedness. I remember, I think I probably have even told you this story, but I'm going to tell it to you again. Because you have no what? Oh, my. Anyway, you know when you grow old, you start repeating stories. But when you're young, you have a fresh thing every day. Because now, after a year, something is going to happen, and other things. But anyway, it's good for this message that I'm preaching. Now, this guy, we used to pray with him at a certain church, and he was a good businessman. So one day he went to Kenya and got an opportunity where somewhere in Nakuru, there was a Muzungu, a Briton, who had a huge farm of pigs. Huge pigs like this. They eat for day and night. And the guy was exporting pork to UK. So he had, So the guy went and took for them a sample of soya, the husks of soya. He got them from some place where they do that soya thing. So they first removed the husks. And so the guy got the husks of soya and went and took to the Wazungu a sample. Then the Wazungu gave the pigs. And the pigs he ate like no man. Then the Wazungu were happy. They said, how much do you want? So they agreed with him. He named his price. Then they gave him upfront money. Go and bring us. The guy was taking like trucks, a number of trucks of those husks to Kenya every day. So twice a week. He started with once a week, then twice a week. And now he was making a lot of profit from it. And man, his life changed. We were in the same church, so we saw. But now the funny thing is he also stopped coming to church. That's the thing about having small dreams. There are some people, by the way, who are just a few millions away from stopping coming to church. And honestly, and even some of them are seated here. Now you reach your breaking point and say, Katoda sichaira chemugamba. There's some guy who was there and said, but meanwhile, like, the man I had was very little. Like, you look at it and say, but how small can people be? Like, he had just one small breakthrough. The guy was, you pray, man. For us, we moved on from that. We are just in Thanksgiving, man. I had to interpret for those who don't understand Uganda. Anyway, so this guy, after taking two trips a week for like 3, 4, 5 months, what? The guy had bought a car. He had stopped coming to church. Then there was also some hot Munyarwanda babe who had been giving him nines. But now she had a rethink. she reconsidered. But the truth is, if you saw the guy in the other state, there is no way there is money. Even if you were a babe, you'd say, But anyway, now there was Maja, so he bought a BMW, not the best, but it was a miracle at that time, you understand? Because even having money for a taxi for us was a miracle. So here is John, he had a old BMW. So I think he only came to church long enough for us to know that he had bought a car. Now, when all of us knew he had bought a car, he did what? He stopped coming. Anyway, so he started dating the woman of his dreams, what? But now the funny thing is, man, never play with people with small visions. He stopped taking the thing. Then the person would call him. And you know why? No reason why. I think he had just gotten to the point where he had too much money in his mind. He had reached his tipping point. Then they called him. Then he took it. They said, what's the problem? Isn't the money enough? Because now the pigs were enjoying it. The Bazungu were very happy. And I mean, everybody was happy. The money they were giving him, I think, was small because they would pack that pork and export it to UK. So they asked the man, what's the problem? The guy said, he told them he was lying, that he had spent the money for the next trip, so he didn't have money. So they said, why did you tell us? So they gave him again up front. Then again, he defaulted. Eventually, they just canceled his thing. And And now the funny thing is, it did not take long. Now also me, when I was one day walking somewhere at, but by the time my financial situation had changed a bit. I met him at post office. Now when you see somebody sitting at post office, you know things are tight. Okay, maybe it's no longer the case. But you know, in our days, when you come to town and you have nowhere to go, you just go. They even put those murals with sharp objects to send away people like man. So I found him seated there before that, and they even put tar. They even kusigad it with some tar so that you can't see it. Those mean guys, as if they have never been broke. So I found John seated there, but like he looked. He, worse than I knew him before, that thing. He looked terrible. I looked at John, man. I was like, man. So when he saw me, he said, hey, man, come later. Hey, how are you? What? How are things these days? What? He said, man, I'm paying mutwaro. That guy was making about 4 million shillings a trip in the mid-1990s. And he was making two trips a week. I'm talking 4 million a week in mid-1990s. I'm talking about like 1994-5. And now he's asking me for 10K. I'm talking 4 million a trip profit. Profit. That's how much those Bazungu were giving him. Senpai Omutwaro. Then when I went back, I sat and said, but man, what happened to him? Then I didn't understand, man. When you do not take time expanding your soul, you do yourself a disfavor. Because God comes to you with big things and you cannot contain them. That's why he said in 3 John, verse 2, He says, this is a very, very important scripture, by the way. Very important. To the elder, beloved Gershas, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul expands, as your soul enlarges, as your soul prospers. Your prosperity will never be bigger than what your soul can contain. Now, I told people, especially partners, and even I preached it here, take time to go and expand your soul. Like, there are certain things you do to just expand your soul. And now let me even end here. There are certain things you do to just expand your soul. For instance, they might be currently out of your financial whatever. But just expand yourself. Like the way I decided, now let me also fly first class. Of course, now it's within my range. But my point is, when I decided to do it, it was it. But my soul expanded to that level. You see, this is how spiritual things work. They do not work with, I have money, I do this. They don't. Even just going and seeing beautiful houses, you're expanding your soul. Like, go to a broker and tell him, I want to jagala nyumba ya, like, $800,000. Just go, even if you don't have 800, you know, shillings in your pocket. Expand your soul. Do you know what that does to you? When they show you around, you see wonderful, like, you don't live the same. Something has, you're building yourself to up to a certain place. Now, after some time, you realize that what used to be very distant is no longer distant. I remember when I went to Spearmoney. Okay. There are certain things which, yeah, you sit in a nice car when it is nowhere close to your range. But when you come out, you're not the same. You're expanding your what? Your soul is just your way of thinking. Yeah? You look at beautiful, some, even on YouTube. Have you seen, there's somebody whom I visited, and they had YouTube videos of powerful houses, of the most powerful houses of people, Beverly Hills, what, you know, with hanging swimming pools and what. I didn't want to leave. And it's just on YouTube, which you have. But instead of watching silly things, comedy, like Vizonto, who are here, instead of watching silly things, just go and say, by the way, you will spend 2 hours watching beautiful houses. You will not be the same, I promise you. Go and check it out and see. You will not be the same. Just on YouTube, I saw things. So I told them, where do you get, so they, you know, hanging swimming pools, what? My mind started wandering, going places, and thinking, where would I build this in Kampala? Then you even start making preferences, and you're just expanding your soul. And by the way, the scripture says, open your mouth and I will feed it. So what you're doing might seem like you're just fantasizing, but it is powerful. It is what you're doing there is your soul is prospering. So you're seeing beautiful things which make you happy. You're seeing nice cars. You're seeing those wonderful, man, those houses ministered to me. You have no idea. They brought me a cup of coffee. I looked at the houses, and there's even like a nice sound behind, a very soothing sound. They said, "Do you want another cup of coffee?" "Yes, give me another one." Yeah, then I watched. They said, "You want food? There's some food you bring." But the thing is, I was actually more interested in seeing those things. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.